And as we mentioned, this is a talk about using types in Gleam. But also, these ideas translate to most other statically typed languages, and hopefully also this gradual type experiment that's happening in Elixir. So before I get into it, maybe a little bit about me and why I'm slightly qualified to talk about this. I'm a front-end developer at a consultancy called Data2Impact. I do sort of Elm and TypeScript and React there. I've been doing Elm, which is a statically typed functional programming language for building web apps, for about 6 years now. I also do developer relations-y kind of things at an open source company called XYFlow. There we're doing React again and Svelte. And I'm also doing way too many things to do with Gleam these days. Louis insists that I'm a member of the core team, despite having never contributed anything to the compiler. I also maintain this front-end framework called Lustre and an ecosystem of packages around that. And spending all of my time in the Gleam Discord is another full-time job. The title of this talk is Phantom Types and the Builder Pattern. So I suppose that begs the question, what are phantom types? And to explain that, we need to do a little detour on generics and what they look like in Gleam. As a kind of dummy example, we have a list. This is a type. This is how you define custom types in Gleam. So we have a list type and two variants. One is a head, which contains an integer value and the rest of the list. And then there is a tail, which is the end of the list or an empty list. But right now, this type only contains ints. What if we want a list of strings or a list of structs or anything? To do that, we need generics or type parameters. And so that's what that looks like in Gleam. So we say list A. We have a type parameter called A. And that head has a value that could be any of these A's. And then the rest is another list of A's. So what the heck does this actually have to do with phantom types? Well, if we just take a moment to look at this type again, I want to home in on two specific bits. Three apparently, because I've left that black, but we'll ignore that. The list A type definition and this tail constructor. So we're saying this list is generic over A, but our tail constructor has no data attached to it. So phantom types don't exist at runtime. We don't have any data that associates with this type. And to exemplify that, here is a tiny trivial example. We're defining these two variables, x and y, and we're telling Gleam, treat x as a list of ints and treat y as a list of strings. But they're both this tail, right? And so maybe intuitively, we should expect to be able to test equality on this and get back true. But actually, if we do this in Gleam, we get a type error. This is a compile error that tells us Gleam was expecting y to be a list of ints, but it got a list of strings. That example was maybe not compelling, and probably your gut reaction was, well, that's kind of rubbish, because I knew that those two things were the same. So what are they actually good for? The first example is IDs, or really anything where we have a shared runtime representation, but we want to be able to distinguish between things at the type level. So this is kind of a common way to do IDs in Gleam. We have what's called an opaque type, which means that the module that this type is defined in can construct IDs, but outside modules can't see into the type. And so we expose this from ID function that just takes an integer and wraps it up. And then we might do something like this, right? Like we have a post ID and a user ID, and we have some sort of database call or maybe an API call or something to upvote a post. But there's actually a bug in this code. Can anyone spot it? This is the definition of our imaginary upvote function. And the first parameter is actually a post ID. And we've got the order the wrong way around because we're just using this ID type for both arguments. And so like as a user, we've made an error here that our program will never catch. You know, we might be a month into production before we've realized that user two has updated, has upvoted a whole bunch of posts by accident. And so there's a few different ways we can solve this, but one is with phantom types. So we have this kind type parameter now on our ID. We're not using it, that's what makes it phantom. And we keep the from int constructor the same. And then we let callers essentially refine what an ID type means. So we have, say, a user and a post type somewhere in our code base. And now we can make our upvote function type safe in the sense that although these two things have the same representation, we've told the type system that the first argument has to be a post ID. And so if we take that example again, now post ID is again an ID for posts and user ID is an ID for users.